Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
The title of my message this morning is Five Dream Killers. Now, I'm not saying there's only five. It could be three, five, six, seven, eight. But I want to share with you five this morning. Five Dream Killers. And share this message with someone. If you will open your Bible with me, I'm going to start off on Proverbs 23:7. And the reason I'm going to Proverbs 23, verse 7 is I'm going to start off with the first dream killer. And it is number one, self-doubt. And amen when you have it. Amen. Proverbs 23:7. The word of God reads, they are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. So, five dream killers. Number one is self-doubt. You know, they say that when you have a vision, God knows somehow to bring in the provision. You don't worry about how big it is. What is it going to cost? It's that it's a vision and you can see it. And it's because God deposited in you. And one of the dream killers is self-doubt. We doubt in ourselves. Our capacity. Maybe we think that we're not smart enough, that we are not equipped. And it reminds me of something I shared on Thursday on the radio, that many times there's a passage in the Bible in Matthew, that's where I shared from, 28. The Bible says that when Jesus arrived, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but others doubted at that moment. And I mean, Jesus is there in person, but even at that, as human beings, doubt does happen. But the Bible says that others worshiped him. Now, I don't know what God has put in your heart, but let's make sure that it brings glory and honor to the Lord. The scripture says that they are always thinking about how much it's going to cost. But when it's of God, how many believe that God will take care of the cost? I never forget. It was the first time I ever heard of Sister Nellie. She said, when it's God's will, God will take care of the bill. Right? And that's the beauty about God, that when he puts a vision, he will bring the provision. And it says they are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. See, you have to believe that you really mean it. And God has your back. They say that what you think about, you bring about. In other words, you got to surround yourself with vision. Your vision. You have to see it and you have to believe it. And I don't know what that vision might be or that dream might be in yourself, your family, your ministry. I don't know. But you got to believe in God and you got to believe in yourself. There's a passage in the Gospels, Mark chapter 9. This boy, he's in trouble. He needs help. And the scripture says this: how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. The father replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Did you notice that it says it's trying to what? Kill him. It's trying to kill that little boy. Jesus asked him, how long has this been happening? Since he was a little boy, but that spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water. Did you know that sometimes, you know, there's a spirit or something that wants to kill your dream? Notice I said it's trying to kill that dream. But the Father, he says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Let me say this, church. You got to believe that God will help you. God's not going to deny you. God will help you. And he says, if you can. And then Jesus looks at him like, are you serious? And he tells him, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asks, is anything possible if a person believes? That's why self-doubt, you know, it's so easy to stop believing. You start doubting yourself. You start doubting. But the Bible tells us anything is possible if a person believes. See, church, you got to continue to believe. You got to believe. And it might be hard. It might be discouraging. It might be frustrating. It might seem impossible. You could think a million things in your mind. But when it's of God, anything is possible if a person believes. The Father, and even the Father, instantly cried out when he heard those words from Jesus. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. And this is what the Father cried out. He says, help me overcome my unbelief. And many times, church, there's nothing wrong if you tell the Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. You got to tell the Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. This is something that you put in me. And in the beginning, you know, it's easy. You get fired up. In the beginning, you do everything right, everything correctly. You do whatever you got to do every day. But 3 months pass, 4 months pass, and everything starts going down. Because suddenly something happened. Suddenly you got some bad news. Suddenly something changed. Your agenda changed. Your calendar changed. Your day didn't begin right. And you start doubting yourself, but you gotta stick it out. Amen? You gotta continue to keep doing what you're doing. That's why Isaiah 41 says, it says this, do not be afraid. I am with you. You gotta know, church, that even when it didn't go as planned as you wanted it, the Bible says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And then he says, don't be discouraged. You know, it's so easy. That's one of the things you see. People get discouraged. It's like, you know, they have a little fire for a little, and then they're discouraged. Come on, church. Maintain the fire. Amen. Just because it didn't go how you wanted it, maintain that fire. Keep believing God. And the Bible says, for I am your God. And then he says, I will strengthen you. See, we forget that when it gets hard or it's discouraging or it gets tough, you got to remember that the Bible says, I will strengthen you. And not only is he going to strengthen you, the Bible says, I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Now, think about this. You start self-doubting yourself because maybe you have fear. Paul told Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But then he says, I want you to get this, but of power. God gives you power to make it through, church. I said God gives you power to overcome, to make it even through the day. Everything starts off how your day goes. However you start off your day, that's how your day will be. Let me ask you, are you a complainer in the morning? You haven't even said, thank you, Jesus, for another day. You're already complaining that the sun's hitting you in the face. Come on, you know, you gotta say, Lord, thank you for another day. That I get to open my eyes, that I can still breathe, that I can get off my bed, that I can walk, that I can use the restroom. That's a blessing in itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but of power and of love. And then he says, this is a very important word. He says, and of a sound mind. That means a clear thinking or self-discipline. Church, we need people that need a sound mind, that are self-disciplined. Not just motivation, self-discipline. Self-discipline. You discipline yourself. And that's where it gets hard sometimes, because of the pressure. You're trying to do something. You're trying to change something in your life, in yourself, the way you do things, the way you talk, the way you eat, the way you're going to, and you get pressure from the world, from the people. Because people will start criticizing you, or people will laugh at you, or they will mock you, or they will not understand you. Let's go to number two. Another killer is when you're waiting for others to believe in your dream. You keep doing that, Jesus is going to come back before anything. Waiting for others to believe in your dream. Let me tell you something. You just, if God put it in you, you believe God. Disneyland, the story of Disneyland, nobody believed in him. 301 banks rejected him. I didn't say two. Some of you, just because somebody said no one time, you're already discouraged. You want to throw the towel. You want to go home. You want to wrap it up. You want to quit and leave it alone. 301 times he went to the, you know what that means? Get up every morning, get on your vehicle, drive to the bank, knowing that you're going to face people. 301 banks he was rejected by. But on number 302, the bank, one bank finally said yes. And there was a loan to build Disneyland. Let me give you another one. Because see, if you're waiting on others to believe in your dreams, oh, you know, just do what you got to do, my brother and sister. Colonel Sanders, KFC. Sorry, Manuel, not churches, KFC. At age 65, the man, the story says the man was broke. Age of 60. See, it doesn't, age doesn't matter. If you can dream, if you can believe it, if you can visualize it. He founded KFC. He was turned down 1,000 times. Turned down 1,000 times. And, in matter of fact, he used his first Social Security check to franchise his chicken recipe. Why? Because he had one word. He had vision. See, when you have vision, you are laser focused. Doesn't matter what they say, what they think, what they do. When you're laser focused, when you have a vision, that's what counts. Now, not everybody's going to flow with you, church. Not everybody's going to believe in you. And it always starts, you just got to start. You just got to do it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I said, it doesn't say trust in man. It says trust in the Lord. We just read that man will reject you. Man will not believe it. Man will say no many times. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, Paul, I like Paul, Philippians 1:6, it says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you. See, some of you, God already began the good work within you. Did you hear me? God already got you started. And he says, we'll continue his work. See, if you don't stop, God doesn't stop. If you have faith in him, he believes in you. It says, we'll continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So whatever you started, and I know the scripture is talking about your walk with God, what God has called you to do. But it says, who began the good work within you will continue his work. See, that's the beauty of it. That's the blessing, church. That you don't stop. God doesn't stop. If you keep moving, God moves with you. Just look at the Bible. Everyone that moved, God moved. And even though there was times where God said, move, many didn't move, you already know the results. In Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And be grateful, church, when it seems like nothing's happening. Like it seems that something got paused. Or something is delayed. We don't see the process is the hardest part. And that's where you got to trust God. Remember, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. See, there's times that maybe you're going too fast. Maybe you're going too slow. And his thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. There's times where, you know, you're going too fast and God says, hey, you need to chill. And he'll put the brakes on you. I said he'll put the brakes on you. Hallelujah. See, we don't understand everything. But because God loves you and he wants the best for you. But he still believes in you. Number three. Another killer that kills your dream is when you compare yourself to others. Quit comparing yourself with others. Hallelujah. Quit trying to look like someone. And be a leader. Quit being a follower. Hallelujah. Try and look like Steven Seagal. Come on. See, your difference is what God has called you to stand out. Paul, he says something powerful. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it says, look what he says, pay careful attention to your own work. See, that's what we need, church. You got to pay attention to your own work. Quit looking at what others are doing. Pay attention to what God called you to do. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. Because you might see others doing great things. And you want to be there already. You're not understanding me this morning. You get so caught up on social media that you're just thinking about, you know, comparing yourself with others. Do I walk like him? Do I walk like her? Do I do this? Do I do that? And Paul, he says, pay careful attention to your own work. You keep working your own land. You keep doing what you're doing. And he says, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. Because it cost you. There was some sweat. There was some discipline, hard work. And for each, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. He says, you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Just take responsibility for your own conduct. Whatever you're doing, you take responsibility. You discipline yourself. Quit comparing yourself with others. You can learn from them, but you will never be them. You are you. You are unique. Hallelujah. And the way God can bless you and God can use you, it's your own fellowship with God. It's how you learn yourself how to be that man or that woman of God as much time as you spend with the Lord. Not how much you spend on what others are doing, but you're so busy in your own assignment that God is dealing with you. God is working with you. He's the one that's, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that's checking you and telling you, do it this way. Don't do it that way. Be more of this, less of this. Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be who you are. Don't try to impress others. Don't be selfish. Then he says, be humble. Be humble. Get off that horse. Be humble. Don't be selfish. Don't think you're the great I am. Quit trying to impress others. Impress God and impress your spouse. Not too many amens, but praise God. And he says, be humble. And then check this out. He says, think of others as better than yourselves. Quit trying to get all the credit. Open some space for other people. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. You gotta have self-confidence. Whenever you're around people, church, you don't have to say much. People already know. The louder you are, it might make you feel good. You don't have to say much. Because people already know who you are. Let me put it this way. People talk about you. They know who you are. It gets around, church. It gets around. You don't have to say much. They know if you're the real thing or you're not. If you're OG or not. If you're legit. People know. You don't have to say anything. That I'm this, that I'm that. You don't have, no. Let others say it for you. Oh, I'm so-and-so from the company. I'm the CEO. I'm this. Chill. Nobody even asked you. Nobody asked you. That's one of the things that I love. Wherever I go, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to introduce who I'm. This is my name. Now, if somebody says, oh, this is so-and-so, that's different. Those are too quiet. I'm hitting them. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Oh, nobody introduced me. Oh, I'm the leader and nobody said that I'm the leader. Come down. Show that you're a leader. Show it. Practice it. Walk it. Be the one showing that you're a leader. That you're different. Just show it. Let the fruit of the Spirit, let them see it in you. Hallelujah. Number four, quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. That's another killer right there. Always making excuses. And you know what? You haven't even noticed that you make the same ones all the time. The same one. I already know my people. The same excuse. And I already know when you're going to say it, the season you're going to say it, I already know. January through December. I already know when someone's going to, oh, it's because, you know, they, oh, here we go. You know what happened in Genesis? Chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, this is what it says. When God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from this forbidden fruit. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. The man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit. See, first thing, you blame someone. And then it says, and it was her, and I ate the fruit. I ate it. Then, so, now, it's not that the Lord doesn't know. God is God. He's wise. He knows everything. Then the Lord asked the woman, what have you done? And then she says, the serpent deceived me. She replied. And she goes, that's why I ate it. What did they do? They're just offering excuses to God for their own actions. Hear me, church, what I'm going to say. It was just a what? A pattern. Nobody took responsibility. They were just shifting the blame. When are you going to take responsibility, my brother and sister? That's because him. It's because the brother said, the sister said. No, don't blame. You should know by now, hey, that doesn't sound right. That's not NGC. Oh, staying quiet now. That's not how we do it here. But because you weren't spiritually fit, you just went along with it. Okay, yeah. And then they come and they ask you, you go, oh, well, he said, who's he? The leader of the ushers. The discipleship. Take responsibility, my brother and sister. You know what Proverbs 22:13 says? The lazy person claims. There is a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. Excuses. Brother, when are you going to get your act together? When are you going to, oh, and then right away, there's a lion outside. The lion. And the lion. Then the cub. The lion. And notice it says, the lazy person claims. That's one of the things and that I fight so hard is that if you're not on it, don't try to exhort anybody. That's why excuses, hear me, church, will always keep you in the same place. Always in the same place. Because you're always making excuses. And you never overcome that. and it's a pattern, and it's a ritual. It's just something that, you know, it's always the same. Oh, I was going to say another word, but no, that's too heavy. I was going to say the same lame excuse, but no, I already said it wrong. Excuses. And that's why we're in the same place. You know how God can take you, how far? Whatever God wants to do, even in the local church, how much God can do in your life, but you're always making excuses. It's too quiet. And then this is your favorite word. Someday. Someday, Pastor. Someday, my friend. Un día. Someday. That someday is never going to come. Take full responsibility for your life. Stop making excuses. And you know what's crazy about all this that I'm saying is that it always has to do with the church. Anything outside the church, we don't have as good as excuses. Anything within the church, there's always excuses. Think about it. Since you're quiet, I'm going to stay here another 10 minutes. And it's always within the church. But outside, oh no, everything changes. And lastly, you're always thinking, if only it was easier. Let me tell you something, church. Not all things are going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Did you hear me? It's going to be hard. Amen? A diet is hard. Once you're over 40, it's harder. You're not young anymore. You're not in your 20s when you used to burn everything quickly. No. And don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Everything that you want fast, you want it quickly, you want results, you want to get rich quickly, the Bible says it's going to disappear quickly. But it says, but wealth or the blessing, or you want to prosperous from hard work grows over time. It's going to grow. All that time that you've been praying, it's going to grow. All that time that you spend in His presence, everything you've done for God's glory or you've done in His house, God is going to grow it over time. But everything that you want fast, that it doesn't cost you, it doesn't burn, it doesn't hurt you, it's easy. But it says wealth from hard work will grow over time. It's like when you give to the Lord. We give to the Lord, we give our finances for God's work, for His kingdom, and right away, well, I didn't see nothing. 2 days, barely 2 days. I don't see the harvest. Church, chill. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give God the opportunity to bless you. And that's the reason why you steal your own blessing. Oh, Pastor, I gave my tithes and I haven't seen anything. How long has it been? 3 weeks. I like what Paul says. He says, each time he said, Jesus, when Paul went through something, a hardship, the thorn in the flesh, when Paul had that thorn in his flesh, now we're going to talk about what thorn it was, but it was a thorn. Jesus told him, now you got to remember, Paul, he was a mighty, powerful man of God, anointed by God. And when he had that thorn in his flesh, Jesus told him these words, "My grace is all you need." Did you get that, church? Not everything's going to be easy. It's not going to be just a easy walk to the park. No. It's going to be hard sometimes, church. But you got to remember, Jesus is saying, "My grace is all you need." And he says, and why do I say that, church? Because we think that when it's hard or it's tough or, you know, it's kind of like we're struggling, we think that, like, God's not with me, or we think, like, you know, this is not of God, or we think, you know, I'm doing something wrong. No. Jesus reminded Paul, and he told him this, "My power works best in weakness." So when you're weak or it's hard, that's when God's power moves in your life. He reminds you that he is with you. He reminds you that you're not alone. He reminds you that you will make it. And when Paul got that revelation, when he says, you know what? It's in these moments. It's in these moments when I'm weak, when I don't have the strength, or, you know, I think it's over. He says, look what Paul says. "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses." See, there's nothing wrong when you boast about your weaknesses. There's nothing wrong when you say, you know what? I tried it 50 times. It's like my daughter, she took a test. Praise God, she passed it the first time, the state test. And then there's another lady that she was talking. She says, you know what? I didn't pass. This is my eighth time. But wait. But she was being real. And guess what? You take it again. It might be number 9. It might be number 10. But the key is that you understand that you're not going to quit. It might be hard. It might be, you know, frustrating, you know, opening up the books or studying and the same questions. But the key is that it's in those moments where God's grace will manifest. He says, so that the power of Christ can work through me. And then he says, that's why, again, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. And in the assaults, when I'm insulted, that's where God moves. And he says, in my hardships, when it's hard, when my life is hard, when, I mean, it's just hard. That's where God's power moves, church. When I'm persecuted, he says, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. And then I love this. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And doesn't the Bible say, let the weak, I am strong. Is there anyone here this morning that can say, let the weak say, I am strong.
I am strong in Jesus' name. I am strong.
Let me give you a little bit about me. When I was, I finished high school. Supposedly, I went to IVC. Honestly, I just went for the check. And back then, they wouldn't deposit. They would give you a real check. And guess what? The lines for those checks, it was ridiculous. I mean, long. And Friday would come, get the check. Vámonos, let's go. And supposedly I took law enforcement. When I just had finished high school, me and a friend from Sealy, what we said, when they first had built Calipatra State Prison, said, let's apply. We did it, we didn't pass. We went, let's go to SD, to Job Corps. We took a tour. Yeah, we just took the tour just for whatever. I did the test, and everything I flunked. Man. The second time I tried to do an exam to work at the juvenile hall, and I missed it by 2 points. And I said, all right. And by that time, that's when I had an encounter with the Lord. And see, God had a different plan for my life. He called me to be a pastor. And many times, church, many times, not all the times, that can happen to you. I'm not saying it's for everybody. It can happen to you. But what I'm trying to say this morning is that don't let anything think that, you know, it has to be easy. No. Many times it's not going to be easy. And just keep doing what you're doing. And you ask the Lord, Lord, is this for me or is there something else? And when you do that, church, God will do it. God will do it. And now, pastoring, it's not easy. But I love it. This is my calling. This is my thing. Amen. I enjoy it. I enjoy shepherding. I never despise the small beginnings. Never despise where you're at right now. Even if you started whatever it is you're doing. If it's only 3 people, 4 people. 1 customer, 2 customers. I saw this video about this, and I finished here. This man, his wife is recording him. I guess he built, a certain type of vest for dogs. And he's sitting in the kitchen with his laptop, and he got all happy. And he told his wife is recording him because he had his first customer. You should have seen the excitement. Because let me tell you, church, whenever God, whatever God puts in you, whatever God has called you to do, even if it's just one, you get excited and you get fired up. When we planted this church in my sister's apartment, I was fired up and I'm still fired up. Amen. And we picked up our first offering the first day. There was only like 8 or 10 of us in that living room. And I was fired up. Why? Because when it's of God, nothing can take it away. Nobody can take it away. Amen. So all the glory and honor be to God. Church, please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.